brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he testified before the House Judiciary Committee on a preliminary hearing on whether they should hear full hearings, evidence on moves to impeach George W. Bush, the president. And I wanted to have him on today to talk about that and go over his evidence. He is, of course, needs no introduction, best-selling author, the prosecutor that successfully nailed the Manson family to the wall and a bunch of other famous cases, a great legal mind. And the jury's in. People believe, even they had Bob Barr and others up there, that he was the most effective and most powerful in the hearing last week. And we're going to get into that. But he just now heard about this. He's so focused on trying to prosecute Bush and trying to get impeachment or some type of grand jury to move for indictment that he wasn't aware of this. And I don't blame him. This broke yesterday on Think Progress. There's no doubt. I made phone calls last night and this morning. Seymour Hersh of the New Yorker magazine, highly respected White House sources, congressional sources, probably the greatest living investigative journalist, who broke 5 years ago that U.S. Special Forces were in Iran with Wahhabist Al-Qaeda-type groups attacking the Iranian Shiite government as a pretext to overthrow it or start a war. He broke, along with the Times of London the same day, the story about the White House memo. He broke this 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, the plan to fly U.S. airplanes painted up like UN low to try to get Saddam's forces to shoot at them or shoot them down. But now, major breaking news. Major breaking news, and so I want to read a little bit of a report after the break to him and play a few minutes of Cy Hirsch talking, but then poo-pooing, saying, well, they just planned, you know, he just proposed, Cheney in a meeting, getting SEALs to have a bunch of arms and have a clash with destroyers and have them shoot at each other and some people could die, but, you know, that's the high school annex. So he kind of poo-pooed it, and I find this to be really disgusting in a way. Vincent Bugliosi, I hate to, you know, bushwhack you here with new info, but I'm going to cover the sources for you after the break. But what do you think about this?
Well, I'd have to hear it. I'm so focused on getting George Bush in an American courtroom being prosecuted for murder and taking the nation to war in Iraq on a lie that I literally, other than reading headlines, do not have time to read the daily newspaper. So I'm being exposed to this for the first time, but I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
I'd like to hear the tape of it.
Absolutely. We're going to do that. I tell you what, John, move that to 2 minutes, 20 seconds in when Hirsch starts talking on the stage. That is the best place to start this. And we're going to go to break, and some stations join us after the break, so that's good. We'll have all our full audience then. But just now, let me give you the background. Cheney, neocons considered killing Americans in pretext to attack Iran, Think Progress, and other publications. In the video here, taped at the campus of Progress Journalism Conference earlier this month, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Seymour Hersh reveals how the neocons convened around Dick Cheney and brainstormed ways to kick off World War IV, as they finally call their pet project to take out the Muslims and foment a contrived clash of civilizations. Now, I went and checked the conference website at the university. He was there. It is him. It's video of him on the stage. We have called the New Yorker. We've called his office. We're trying to get a response because he has a responsibility to tell us the other 11 provocations they were planning. Okay, and it's also come out that right after this meeting was right after they had the event where they claimed that the PT Iranian boats in the Strait of Hormuz came out and wanted to attack the ships. Turned out they were over a mile away, and there was a fake radio transmission. The media had to admit it was fake. It was obviously an Anglo with a ridiculous fake Muslim voice going, Eastern voice, Persian voice going, we are going to blow you up in 1 minute. And then it turned out, quote, oh, somebody was joking around the Navy radios. Okay, yeah, that's a cover story. Vincent Bugliosi, we're very honored to have you. I didn't mean to spend 4 minutes doing that before we have you speak. I just want to give you as much info. We'll go to a three-minute break and come directly back with the full clip for Vincent Bugliosi so he can give us his take on it. Just unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Vincent Bugliosi is our guest. Stay with us.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 500 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 500, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco, and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 500. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Keep out of reach of children under 6 years of age. If you accidentally swallow more than used for brushing, seek professional assistance or contact a poison control center immediately. Why would you or your family use a product with this warning? If you're looking for a safe and natural alternative to keep your teeth healthy, clean, and sparkling, then you need Soli Smile All-Natural Tooth Powder, the first tooth powder of its kind. Soli Smile contains 84 mineral-rich Himalayan sea salt, baking soda, and xylitol, a sugar substitute with long-lasting dental benefits. Soli Smile comes in 5 flavors, made from grade A essential oils, so I know it'll please even your kids. You'll also appreciate the convenient 2-ounce airline-safe size. Try some, and you too will have a Soli Smile. Order some today at SoliSmile.com. That's SOLAY Smile.com. Or call us toll-free, 866-497-0274. That's 866-497-0274. Mention GCN for a free gift, complete with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
During the break, because we already played it last hour, I played the audio, part of the audio, of the full video that's up on Infowars.com right now. And again, you hear Cy Hirsch talk about he's written a little article that mentioned they wanted provocations, but not what they were, and that the New Yorker editor said, oh, well, that's not newsworthy that they were discussing this. I mean, that's like saying President Bush and Dick Cheney were discussing kidnapping children or cutting babies out of women's wombs like Charlie Manson, but they didn't do it, so we're not going to talk about it when they clearly have staged other provocations. This is just incredible, and I know Vincent Bugliosi, famous prosecutor who did prosecute the Manson family, hence the mention of Charlie Manson, doesn't like to get into things he hasn't fully vetted or looked at yet, but I played him the audio during the break. Give us your preliminary take on that.
Yeah, Alex, I didn't hear everything. It wasn't that clear. I can tell you this, that it didn't surprise me at all. These people are capable of anything. By people, I mean the Bush administration. But I would like to have either a transcript of this meeting that took place between Cheney and who else, or someone having written the minutes or a memo on the meeting. It would be a little stronger if we had that. But it's totally consistent with the Manning memo that I talk about in my book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, where Bush himself, not just Cheney, but Bush himself is talking about how to provoke a war with Saddam Hussein. I agree with you 100% that this is relevant, even though they didn't go ahead and do it, because it's reflective of their state of mind. and that's very important in a criminal trial, their state of mind that they are willing to deliberately deceive the American public and take this nation to war. So
and it
very,
also
very
shows
relevant.
Premeditation for dastardly deeds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So whether they go ahead on it or not is not relevant. The relevant thing is what's their state of mind that they're very willing to take this nation to war under false pretenses.
Well, Vincent Bugliosi, we're going to get into your book. We're going to get into the Manning memo. I want you to spend some time on that first since it does dovetail. But as a famous, highly respected prosecutor and legal scholar, if I met with 10 guys and discussed 12 different crimes and were seriously thinking about implementing them, isn't that a crime in and of itself?
Not really. It comes pretty close to it. Well, you could say, yes, a conspiracy to commit the crime, except at common law, that was enough. But today, in addition to the agreement, there has to be what they call an overt act, a step taken. It doesn't have to be a big step, but a step taken to carry out the object of the conspiracy. So there is the agreement, which is one element of the crime of conspiracy. But here, if that's all there was no overt act to further what they were agreeing to do.
But it's enough for a major investigation, is it not?
Oh, okay. Absolutely, 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 of course. It shows that they wanted to take the nation to war on a lie. But there has to be some step that they take in furtherance of the object of that agreement. And I don't hear that here. Even in the Manning memo, we don't have that. But we do have Bush showing that he wanted to take the nation to war on a lie. And
tell folks about the Manning memo. I mean, not everybody is aware of it like you are, written a book about it. Tell us about it.
Well, the Manning memo is just one piece of evidence that I present in my book to show that George Bush is guilty of murder. And it shows his state of mind that he wanted to go to war on a lie. The date was January the 31st, 2003. And by the way, we're not talking about the Downing Street memo. No, that's a totally different memo, and it's kind of ambiguous. And if I prosecuted Bush, that would be offered, but it's not strong enough to go to war. I mean, to go to a trial.
Yeah, that's telling the British, fix intelligence, we're going to lie. But
yeah, but that there was no source for that, and it's a little ambiguous what fixing the evidence means. It could mean creating evidence, which would be very, very serious, or it could mean cherry-picking, which is a lot weaker. But the Manning memo, this is January 31st, 2003. Bush met with British Prime Minister Tony Blair in the Oval Office for 2 hours with six of his top aides, including his chief, Blair's chief foreign policy advisor, David Manning. After the meeting, Manning prepared a five-page memo stamped, quote, extremely sensitive, unquote, in which he summarized, Alex, what was said at the meeting. And among other things, he said that George Bush, not Blair, but Bush, was so worried about the failure of UN inspectors to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that he talked about three possible ways to, quote, provoke a confrontation, unquote, with Hussein, one of which Bush said was to, quote, fly U-2 reconnaissance aircraft over Iraq, falsely painted in United Nations colors. And Bush said that if Hussein fired upon them, he'd be in violation of UN resolutions, and that would justify our going to war. Now, here we have, Alex, George Bush telling the American people, telling the world that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, but behind closed doors, this small man was talking about how to provoke Hussein into a war. Now, if Bush honestly, and let's italicize the word honestly, if he honestly believed that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, which is the main reason he gave the American people for going to war, by definition, the thought of provoking Hussein into a war would never, ever have entered his mind. I was on the Dennis Miller Show a couple of weeks ago. Dennis fell hopelessly in love with the Republican Party at the time of 9/11, and I poked fun of him in my book. And I said, Dennis, you're defending George Bush at his trial for murder, and the prosecutor calls David Manning to the witness stand to testify to what your guy said on January 31st, 2003. Other than trying to hide beneath the console table, Dennis, what would your response be to David Manning's testimony? And Dennis is bright and quick. He said, I'd ask for a recess. No matter how long that recess went on, for 10 minutes, an hour, a week, or a year, there's no answer to the Manning memo other than guilt. It clearly shows George Bush wanting to take the nation to war on a lie. The fact that they didn't implement that is not relevant. It's relevant in that we couldn't prosecute it on that alone. But it shows that he lied when he told the nation that he believed that Hussein was an imminent threat to security of this country. Because if you believe that, he never, by definition, would have been talking about how to provoke Hussein into a war.
And he then had his surrogates go out and produce, excised, as you covered in the hearings last week before the judiciary, false, dummied-up reports that had then been brought to Congress and before the United Nations. So he had his surrogates all over pushing a lie and then took us to the war.
Yeah. In fact, on June 16th, I got a call here in L.A. from a very conservative Republican congressman from the South who voted for the war, was one of its most vocal supporters. I'm not giving his name right now because he's running for re-election, but he told me that come November, he wants to be on my side, hopefully when George Bush is indicted for murder. In any event, he heard the tape on the book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, and he called me and he said, Mr. Bugliosi, I want to tell you that I'm convinced now that George Bush misled Congress. He didn't mention the American people. He said, misled Congress into war. I've given several copies of the book to colleagues, including John Conyers, who called me, by the way, about a month ago or three weeks ago. Or I forget how long ago. But anyway, he said he was reading the book and he had gotten a copy of the book. And he said that, where am I here on this story here? I'm talking about this Republican congressman. He said he's given them a copy of the book, asked them to read it, and told them, read the book. We were lied to. He felt very bad himself that he was susceptible to that lie. And I told him, Congressman, do not feel that way. You were not, as he learned in the book, you were not given the information that you were supposed to be given. Now, what is that information? Well, Bush, on the evening of October the 7th, 2002, from Cincinnati, Ohio, this was his first reference to Hussein in Iraq being a threat to the country. He told the nation that that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, either by his attacking us with weapons of mass destruction or giving those weapons to a terrorist group to attack us. And he said this attack can happen, quote, on any given day, unquote, meaning the threat was imminent. The big problem for George Bush is that the evidence shows that what he told the American people was the exact opposite of what his own CIA had told him just 6 days earlier in a classified October 1st report, that Hussein was not an imminent threat. Now we get into the issue of deletions, and it gets worse. October the 4th, and I told Congress this, and they were taking notes, it looked like, to me. If they weren't taking notes, they were certainly listening very intently. In fact, Conyers, the fellow to his left, the Republican congressman, literally tried to shut me down. And he made this remark.
Lamar Smith. Told,
he said, I, not referring to me, but he said, I'm about to have an aneurysm. Now, I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or what have you. But I told Congress that in this October 4th unclassified version of the classified report, it was called the White Paper. This is what the Bush administration did. They had an unclassified summary version of the October 1st report to give to Congress and the American people. And in this unclassified version, the conclusion of U.S. intelligence, and we're talking about 16 U.S. intelligence agencies led by the CIA, the conclusion of U.S. intelligence that Hussein was not an imminent threat to the security of this country was completely deleted. Every single one of those all-important words was taken out, so Congress never saw that. And I was telling this congressman, as he learned from the book, you never saw that. I can't tell you how serious this is.
For those that don't understand, they premeditatedly edited the 16 agencies' reports, created a fraud, and then put it forward as 16 unanimous agencies saying he is a threat when they said he isn't an imminent threat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The consensus of 16 U.S. intelligence agencies was that Hussein was not an imminent threat to security of this country, but the white paper that was given to Congress just seven days before Congress voted on whether to authorize George Bush to go to war, October 11th, did not contain that statement. It did not contain several other things. And when we get back, I'd like to talk to you about several other things that were not.
Absolutely. Vincent Bugliosi is our guest, the famed prosecutor. He says he's got the goods. George Bush is a mass murderer. That's the facts. We'll be right back.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of
life. Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now or get the DVD at Infowars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
Cameras are everywhere, above stoplights, on toll booths, and scanning the freeways just waiting to snap a photo of your license plate only to slam you with ridiculous fines. In California, red light tickets are as high as $400. Spray Your Plate is a spray-on photo blocker that protects against all types of cameras. Spray Your Plate photo blocker spray reflects and protects against flash photo images, making your plate unreadable. One can of photo blocker will pay for itself many times over, last forever, and is completely undetectable. You cannot afford to not be protected with Spray Your Plate photo blocker. Call 1-800-276-9601 or go to sprayyourplate.com. That's sprayyourplate.com. All orders are kept strictly confidential. You are no longer defenseless against Big Brother, who is watching us all. Go to sprayyourplate.com or call 800-276-9601. That's 800-276-9601 today. Don't give your money to the state. Spray Your Plate.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer Formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and reduces emissions. Average improvement in fuel economy typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811. Or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
Man thinks, cause he rules it up, he can do with it as he please.
Famed prosecutor of the Manson family and many other famous cases, best-selling author, Vincent Bugliosi is our guest the rest of the hour. We're going to open the phones up about the impeachment hearings last week, about where all this is going. I also want to ask him later, is he fearing for his safety going up against this mafia, and has he gotten any threats? But continuing with the absolute evidence that, I mean, you use the number of 100,000 dead in Iraq, but most of the big, the Lancet study and, other international respected groups who are nonpartisan have said that it's closer to 1 million now. I mean, 2.5 years ago, it was 600 plus thousand dead, but you're being conservative, 100,000 dead in Iraq. I mean, this is murder. This is premeditated. Please continue.
Of course. course. But by the way, Alex, in my end note, a lot of times people don't read end notes, but my end notes are a little different than a lot of people. But some of my end notes go on for 20, 30 pages in my book on the Kennedy assassination. I have an end note that goes on for 60 pages, I think, with about 30 footnotes. I'm not dropping names here, but Johnny Carson said, Vince, I read all your end notes. But the only reason I mention that now is I do mention what you say about the estimates being as high as 1 million, and that was about a year ago. So I'm using a very conservative number in the main text of a 100,000. Summarizing what I'm saying up to where we left off, we have Bush then telling the nation on October the 7th that Hussein was an imminent threat to security of this country, and he was telling millions of unsuspecting Americans the exact opposite of what his own CIA had told him just 6 days earlier, that Hussein was not an imminent threat. And then I was pointing out to you that on October the 4th, the Bush administration put out an unclassified summary version of this classified report so they could give it to Congress and the American people. And this report was called the White Paper. And in that White Paper, the main conclusion of the October 1st classified report that Hussein was not an imminent threat was completely deleted. So Congress and the American people did not see that. There were two other things in that classified report that Congress and the American people never saw, and the Republican congressman saw it for the first time in the book. One, the conclusion, it was an erroneous conclusion, that Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and we subsequently learned that they were all destroyed in 1991 at the end of the Persian Gulf War. That conclusion was stated in the classified report as an opinion with the words, we assess that, or we judge that Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. The White Report, the White Paper, the words, we judge that, we assess that, were deleted. And that opinion was stated as a fact. The words were, Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Also, there were several very important dissents in the area of nuclear weapons in the classified report. All of those dissents were deleted from the White Paper. This is extremely powerful evidence that Bush took this nation to war knowingly and deliberately on a lie, under false pretenses. And therefore, under the law, he's guilty of murder. For the deaths of over 4,000 young American soldiers who have died so far fighting his war, not your war, Alex, or my war, or America's war, but his war. One of the key issues that I knew would come up, if there's going to be a prosecution, and there very well could be after he leaves office, right now he has temporary immunity, is whether there's jurisdiction to prosecute George Bush. And I spent a great number of hours at the L.A. County Law Library and the Ninth Circuit Library trying to establish jurisdiction. I was unable to establish jurisdiction for the well over 100,000 innocent Iraqi men, women, children, and babies who have died in his war. Bush is guilty of those murders, but I couldn't establish jurisdiction for them. But I was able to establish jurisdiction to prosecute Bush for the murder of the over 4,000 young American soldiers. And I established jurisdiction for the Attorney General in Washington, D.C., acting through his Department of Justice. We're only talking really about one prosecutor there. There's 93 U.S. attorneys around the country, but they're not going to bring an action against Bush without the consent of their boss. But on a state level, I established jurisdiction for the Attorney General, Alex, in each of the 50 states, plus the approximately 950 district attorneys in counties within those states, to prosecute Bush for the murder of any soldier or soldiers from their state or county who died fighting Bush's war in Iraq. So with over or approximately 1,000 prosecutors out there in this land of ours, and with all the evidence of guilt that I present in my book, The Prosecution of George Bush for Murder, I don't think it's unreasonable to believe, Alex, that there's at least one prosecutor out there that's courageous enough to step forward, maybe there's many more, step forward and say, this is the United States of America. In America, no man is above the law. The evidence of Bush's guilt is clear, so I'm going to go after him. And when we talk about 1,000 prosecutors, before Bush passes away, that number may go up to 7,000 or 8,000 prosecutors because there's no statute of limitations for the crime of murder. You know, Pinochet down in Chile, 33 years later, they brought murder charges against him.
Stay there, Vincent Bugliosi. I want to talk about what's happening now. They're quartered rats. They need a new war. If getting in the mind of the criminals, what do you think they're planning to do to stop your investigation and others' investigations?
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
I had the opportunity to speak to my 90-year-old grandmother at some length here recently, and she was talking about the Great Depression, and we were talking about the gas prices, the food prices, this economic uncertainty we're in, these, you know, really kind of perilous times. No one knows where we're headed or where we might end up. And she was reminded of the Great Depression and how in those days, folks who lived in the country did okay because they had chicken and eggs and they could grow gardens and can their food, but how difficult it was for people who lived in urban areas or in the cities because they didn't have the landscape for gardening or the know-how, and they didn't have the chickens and the livestock. So it's a lot different for them. Well, we know one thing's certain right now. We're headed into much higher prices on food, and there is a global food shortage. Now, what can you do to prepare? Do what I did. Sell some toys off in the garage. Go to the J. Michael Stevens eFoodsDirect.com company. Get some food and put it away and be safe. Put a little security in your life. You deserve security. Go to eFoodsDirect.com, eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. Put some food away. Do it now. 1-800-409-5633.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that in 1975, 32 senators and 92 representatives signed the Declaration of Independence, which stated that we must bring about a new world order? It called for the surrender of our national sovereignty to international organizations. It called for the redistribution of the wealth from America to third and fourth world countries. This is the same New World Order called for by former President George Herbert Walker Bush 210 times at the start of the Iraqi War in 1990-1991. We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss.
He had the highest conviction rate in violent felony cases in L.A. County when he was prosecutor there. 105 out of 106. Won 21 consecutive murder trials. He's Vincent Bugliosi, best-selling author of books he's written that have been made into films, TV shows, you name it. Mr. Bugliosi, getting into the mind, you know, you've studied criminology, you've been death threatened before, you've dealt with these type of individuals. We know that psychopaths, the controlled psychopaths, go for positions of power throughout history. Comparing the mind of Charlie Manson and other psychos you put away with George Bush, with Cheney, with the neocons, with their nasty mindset, give us your analysis on their mindset.
Well, I don't know if I'm an authority on the mindset. You know, I had to prove that the defendant committed the crime, and that there was no legal justification for him to do so. We certainly got into the mind in the resolution of that issue. But motive is not an element of the corpus delicti of any crime. So I've actually put people on death row without knowing for sure why they committed the crime. All I knew is that they had done it, put someone in their grave 6 feet under, and they had no legal justification for doing so. But you're asking me kind of to compare Manson with Bush. Manson obviously was a very evil person. Let me get that off the hook here so we're not interrupted. Manson was a very evil person who wanted to kill as many people as he could. And I knew that if he was not stopped, he would have killed as many people as he could have. Someone who knew Manson a lot better than I did, because he lived with him, little Paul Watkins, he's dead now, he said, Ben's death is Charlie's trip. So I would classify Manson as being a very evil human being who placed no value on human life, and he had a passion for death, blood, and murder. Bush, I would not say, is evil. He certainly doesn't want to kill anyone. But he's a despicable human being who couldn't care less when people do die. He's extremely arrogant, extremely self-centered. And one of the emotional underpinnings for this book, basically, is the fact that, and we're getting into this issue now, that he couldn't possibly care less about the fact that his own people were being killed or the death of innocent Iraqi civilians. One of the emotional underpinnings for my book is the fact that the evidence is overwhelming that throughout the hell on earth that Bush created in Iraq, with over 100,000 people dying horrible, violent deaths and hundreds of thousands of their survivors crying out hysterically and having terrible nightmares over what happened to their loved ones, this guy, George Bush, has smiled through it all. In fact, if you see a photo of Bush and six or seven other people smiling, Alex, who has the biggest smile on his face right in the middle of the war? George Bush. The evidence is very clear, and anyone that tries to dispute it is just going to be looking like a fool, that while young American soldiers, 18, 19-year-old kids, Alex, who never had a chance to live out their dreams, were being blown to pieces by roadside bombs in Iraq, Bush was having a lot of fun and enjoying life to the very fullest. I'm talking about running, bicycling, joking with friends, slapping backs, dancing and swiveling his hips like Elvis to blaring music, almost always appearing to be in the very best of good spirits.
Exactly. Let me just stop you, Vincent Bugliosi. I mean, just covering serious issues on this show, I've become more of a serious person and I'm very serious in life. And you see a judge, they try to be solemn. You see police, they try to be professional and solemn. With Bush, he's always clowning around. And then he lied and said, oh, I haven't been playing golf since the war started. And it turns out he's playing every week. So it's also the endless lying and just the arrogance, thinking we're all idiots.
Yeah, you look at a photograph of people like, or presidents like Roosevelt, Truman, LBJ, and Nixon, a photograph of their faces during the time of war, their respective wars, and the photos reflect the grimness of the war. It was a very serious time, unlike any other president in American history during a time of war. Bush has regularly and routinely had a lot of fun and been in high spirits.
Well, you can say what you want. You can say what you want about Nixon or LBJ, but they obsessed in the war room and tried to figure things out and got ulcers and lost sleep. And these weren't even very moral people in many respects, but they took it serious.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
LBJ told one of his aides, Jack Valenti, that every time in the morning when he'd read the casualty reports, it was like drinking carbolic acid. And for your audience out there, I will tell them that they don't have to take my word for this or the photographs in the book, and they're not gotcha photos. They're photos showing Bush having an absolute ball. Bush himself has had no hesitancy at all in saying things like this, Alex, over and over again. And while I'm quoting Bush, these are just some quotes that are in the book. While I'm quoting him, try to think, I'm asking your audience, you try to think of, at the very same time he's uttering these words, all of the death and the horror and the suffering and the screaming and the mutilations and beheadings that are taking place in Iraq while he's uttering these words. This is George Bush. Laura and I are having the time of our lives. I'm in a great mood. It's a perfect day. I'm feeling pretty good about life. Alex, if I killed one person, even accidentally, like in a car accident, I'd never have another perfect day for the rest of my life. And I'm telling you, this guy has been having a ball, enjoying himself to the utmost throughout this entire war. And I say this, that even if George Bush was only guilty of making an innocent mistake in taking this nation to war in Iraq, not murder, as I firmly believe, with all of the death, horror, and suffering he has caused, what type of a monstrous individual is it who could be happy with his life? And there's no question that he's happy. I mean, as recently as March of this year, he shows up at a press conference to endorse McCain's candidacy. McCain shows up late. What does Bush do? Spontaneously, big smile on his face. He starts a starts doing a soft shoe tap dancing routine to entertain the assembled media. You probably heard of Mark McKinnon.
Yes.
Well, he's a bicycling friend of Bush, and I think he was the head of Bush's media campaign, or he, one of his strategists. I think he was the head of it. In the 2004 reelection campaign, he told the New York Times in 2005, right in the midst of all the horror and atrocities going on in Iraq, he says he's never seen the president more calm, relaxed, and happy. And to me, this is almost unprecedented. I kind of went off on a little riff. You're asking me to compare Manson with Bush. Bush is a despicable human being. I don't believe he's lost one wink of sleep over all the deaths that he's caused in Iraq.
Well, what about the working out 3 hours a day and taking two-hour naps and then says he doesn't even read the newspaper?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Probably even more telling than all of this, my wife and I, during a seven-year period, I work 7 days a week. I get to bed around 2 in the morning, wake up at 10. She says, you work from morning to morning. We had our 50th anniversary, and we took 3 days off in the desert during a seven-year period that Bush was president. If it hadn't been for the anniversary, we probably wouldn't even have taken those 3 days off. Now, the only reason I mention that is that I'm, you know, a cipher, a complete nobody. I'm just an author. During that same period, you know how many days George Bush took off for vacation or at places like Kennebunkport?
Well, I know it's around a third of the year he's on vacation.
Yeah, that's right. 908 days. So I take 3 days off, and I'm nothing. He's the president of the United States, and I was told by the CBS radio guy who follows the White House that up until January 1st, 2008, he had taken off 908 days on vacation. Here's someone that's not particularly bright at all. Everyone agrees, even his supporters, that he has an extremely low amount of knowledge. If you were to take the average person and put them in the presidency with Bush's lack of knowledge, what would that person do if he loved America? He'd work round the clock trying to get as knowledgeable as he could so he could represent this country in the best possible way to bring it to a better condition than it presently is in. George Bush did the exact opposite, took off 908 days. Why? Well, like I say in the book, it doesn't just show he's lazy. Everyone knows that. It shows that. It shows, in my opinion, I'm not positive of this, that this man does not love the United States of America. He doesn't hate it. He doesn't hate it. But he has no particular love for it. And one way you show your love for your country, obviously, is to fight for it. And this is what I have against, among many other things, against Bush and his fellow neocons in the right wing of the party. The tremendous hypocrisy of these people. They're the most repugnant, hypocritical, un-American people in our society. When it was their time, this is just one example, I'm sure you have many more, Alex. When it was their time to fight for America in the Vietnam War, show their love for this country, what did they do? I'm talking about the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Roves, the indescribably reprehensible Rush Limbaugh. What did they do? They ran like hell in the opposite direction. But now they have no hesitancy in waving the flag and shedding the blood of other people's children in far-off Iraq. These are not good people. With respect to Bush's monumental crime in this case, here's my view, and I view it more as a fact than as an opinion. Because George Bush is a conservative Republican, and so are they, anything he does, anything at all, including murder, is just fine with them.
Listen, I have people in my message board on Infowars.com, and they come in and go, yeah, the government stages events to get us into war, it's good. Yeah, cops are tasing people to death, it's good. Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's not just Bush and his psychopathic or sociopathic activities. The whole society, and I've always seen myself as, you know, a mainline conservative slash libertarian, but it's not just George Bush. It's a lot of these Republican followers. They think it's cute and funny to be evil. They think it's cute and funny Iraqis are dying. They post on their blogs pictures of Iraqi children with their feet blown off and talk about nuking them and turning it into a glass parking lot. They really are demonic, psychopathic camp followers. Now, they wouldn't actually want to go blow the kids' feet off. They'd throw up at the sight of real blood. But it's like some type of stunted bloodlust. It's like a little piggyish demon, and there's hordes of them. And I really think it's a society that's become very decadent. I think George Bush is an expression of the rotten sectors. I'm not saying the whole country. It's a great country that are out there. And it makes me ashamed because we can say they did it and they lied to us and Congress didn't know. But now the Democrats aren't going after him. The Democrats have still got us in the war. And it just makes me really ashamed to be an American.
Well, Alex, I agree with everything you say. If we look at the genesis of this, I would add this addendum. These people that couldn't care less about all the killings of not only Iraqi citizens, but American soldiers, they couldn't care less. They say, well, this is war. My analysis is that the reason they're that way is that they are much more Republican than they are American. Let me ask you this. What do you think their state of mind would be if Bill Clinton were doing the same identical thing as George Bush?
They'd be freaking out. They'd be running around, freaking out, pulling their hair out.
Well, more than that, they'd want to skin him alive, hang him in the town square at noontime. I mean, here's a guy that had consensual sex outside of marriage, try to cover it up. Just sublime silliness, nothing at all. And what happened to him with these right-wingers? Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, he was savaged by the right-wing media, including the liberal New York Times and Washington Post, the monstrous Ken Starr, with federal funding, conducted a seven-year, $70 million effort to destroy the Clinton presidency. He was impeached. They tried to drive him from office for doing nothing. And here's George Bush, responsible for, like you say, probably over 1 million murders, and they don't want to do anything at all. And I say this, Bush and his people have gotten away with thousands upon thousands of murders, and we, America, the American people, cannot let him do this. And this is why I'm not going to be satisfied. I may not succeed, but I'm not going to be satisfied until I see this guy in an American courtroom being prosecuted for first-degree murder. And if the jury convicts him, Alex, as you know, it'll be up to them to decide the appropriate punishment. One of their options being the imposition of the death penalty. The other options being life imprisonment and life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Are you there, Alex?
Yes, I'm just stunned by the magnitude of what you're talking about. And again, I cut my teeth on talk radio attacking Bill Clinton for the Chinese generals and the missile secrets and the Arkansides. But compared to George Bush, I mean, I'm no fan of Bill Clinton. I know people that worked with him, were around him. The guy slept 4 hours a night. He constantly read all the government agency reports. He had at least pride in himself that he wanted to be sharp and know what was going on. And I mean, just a side issue, I've been reading the military reports themselves. Many of the VAs, roaches, flies, rats, no good health care, people that aren't even real doctors have been hired. Overflowing toilets at bases everywhere. The C-130s falling apart. Toilets overflowing. The men crapping in the aisles on the way over to Iraq. And then they built all these pleasure planes for the brass. And it seems like we are Rome in 409 right before 410. I mean, it just seems like sectors of the government are just completely let them eat cake, Marie Antoinette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I can't disagree with anything that you say, Alex. As they say, I guess it's a new term. I'm still in the 19th century with a yellow pad and pencil. You're spot on. Is that a new term? Spot on.
No, that's a good term. I'm
not that familiar with it. I just heard it recently.
Well, take the handling of the economy. The dollar's plunging. All these prices are up, and Bush is prancing around. 2 weeks ago, saying the economy's just fine.
Yeah. Talking about Clinton's alleged crimes vis-a-vis Bush's, as you know, at the hearings Friday in Congress, there was a professor from Northwestern, Mr. Presser, I don't know his first name, but anyway, he was denouncing all the horrible things that George Bush did, but had no trouble with all the horrible things he said that Clinton did, but had no trouble with what George Bush did. And I just said, Mr. Presser, you apparently have no, apparently you think it's worse what Clinton did, lying to the American public about consensual sex, and you feel that's worse than George Bush lying to the American public about going to war and all the death, horror, and suffering that has resulted from it. And I said, I would ask you this question, Mr. Presser. What previously recognized form of logic would allow you to reach a conclusion like that? And he was silent.
Well, that's it. There's a craziness spreading across the country, but I don't give the Democrats cover. They should have already pulled out of Iraq. They should already be in full-blown impeachment hearings a year and a half ago, but we don't see that. Instead, we see Nancy Pelosi prancing around with Bush everywhere. So I think it's just going to continue under the Democrats. I want to take some phone calls for our guest. And I don't want to keep you too much longer in the next hour, but can you do 5 minutes in the next hour?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, I'm honored to be on the show. You're a stand-up guy, and I can't thank you enough. You know, I've been blacked out by the major media in this country.
Yeah, talk about the blackout in the minute we've got left before break.
Oh, okay, good.
Go ahead.
Oh, right now? Well, my publicist said she has never seen another book in her over 30 years that's been totally blacked out by the mainstream national media. Up until a New York Times article about 2 weeks ago pointing out the blackout, it was a total, complete blackout. No network, no cable. Total blackout. It got so bad that ABC Radio refused to take money from my publisher to take out a radio spot on the news on their network for the book, Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. But despite that, the book, because of people like you and incredible word of mouth, is a New York Times bestseller, number 9 this week. But it's because of people like you that it's given me a voice. But the mainstream national media has not wanted to talk to me about this book. They don't even want to talk about Bush being prosecuted for murder.
And that's because they know they're complicit going along with it. We'll be right back with your phone calls and Vincent Bugliosi.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lays Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at LaysMedInc.com. That's LaysMedInc.com today.
Our beloved republic is on her knees. The forces of globalism are destroying national sovereignty worldwide. But in liberty's darkest hour, there is hope. For the first time in modern history, the people are beginning to wake up. It is essential that patriots worldwide accelerate their fellow man's understanding of the New World Order Master Plan. We have a short time frame to fully awaken and energize the people to meet this threat. In the info war, PrisonPlanet.tv is a powerful weapon in the battle to regain our freedom. PrisonPlanet.tv is a vault of forbidden information. All 18 of my documentary films can be downloaded or streamed in super high quality directly to your computer or iPhone and shared with others. Thousands of special video reports, from tainted vaccines to martial law, can be found in this online video library. My weekly news television broadcast, thousands of exclusive audio interviews, and so much more. The InfoWar is waiting for you to set it free. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Burn the info bombs to disk. Put them on the file-sharing networks. Bring down the New World Order. PrisonPlanet.tv.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF Shower Filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
All right, Vincent Bugliosi is going to be with us 20 minutes into the next hour. We move Dr. Nick Begich back. We'll get into the economy with Bob Chapman on this Friday edition in the fourth hour. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Don't forget the online video and bookstore at Infowars.com. Films like Truth Rising, Endgame, Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terror, and more available at Infowars.com. By the way, Terror Storm, out for over a year and a half, does get into the White House memo and them wanting to get a U.S. plane shot down and the rest of it. That's just one of many things covered in Terror Storm, available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139 or see all my films and many other films and ebooks, you name it, the weekly TV reports at prisonplanet.tv, only 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month, or get a yearly subscription and get 3 months of free at prisonplanet.tv. We have one of the most successful prosecutors in U.S. history, prosecuted the Mansons, among other unsavory people, that's putting it lightly, Vincent Bugliosi. He has the new New York Times bestseller, Despite a Total Media Blackout, in mainstream control corporate media out of fear and their complicity in all this. I mean, they have a stake in the whole establishment, basically, the military-industrial complex, in covering this up. But despite that, it is number 9 on the New York Times bestseller list, the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder by Vincent Bugliosi. Let's go to your phone calls. Frankie in Missouri, you're on the air with Vincent Bugliosi, Frankie.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, Frankie.
Mr. Jones, I want you to understand something. We got a lot of love for you out here, brother. A lot of love.
Well, thank you. Do you have a question for Vincent Bugliosi?
Yes, Mr. Bugliosi, I'm Italian too, so how you doing, Paisan?
I don't want to drop another name. Warren Beatty asked me the same thing Sunday, and I said, I'm angry. I'm very, very angry.
Mr. Bugliosi, has there ever been a successful prosecution of somebody of Bush's status? And if this trial ever does come to court, will those that choose to prosecute him, will they live to see the verdict?
Will those that choose to prosecute him live to see the verdict? That, well, you're saying there'd be a whole trial, and then before the verdict, after the trial, but just before the verdict, someone's going to step forward and kill them? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I would think that, you know, that somebody that does take on this type of job would have great concern.
Well, I'm looking for a courageous prosecutor out there. About 2 weeks ago, not even that long, maybe a week and a half ago, the publisher sent out a copy of my book, Prosecution of George Bush for Murder, to each of the 50 state attorney generals in this country with a cover letter from me asking the prosecutor to read the book. And if they agree that the evidence of Bush's guilt is clear and that there's jurisdiction that they proceed against him, they can't prosecute him right now, but they can commence the criminal investigation of him. And I offered my services to the prosecutor in whichever way he or she sees fit, which would range from being a consultant all the way up to and including being appointed a special prosecutor. I certainly would not be averse to prosecuting George W. Bush for murder, and I can tell you right now that unquestionably I would seek the death penalty against him. I mean, here's a guy, by the way, who is very much in favor of the death penalty, probably had the highest execution rate in the history of any governor. 152 cases came across his desk when he was governor of Texas.
And by the way, he would give press conferences and then giggle and laugh about it and talk about how they begged him. I mean, if you're going to execute somebody, you don't make jokes about it.
Oh, of course. But he signed off on 152 out of 152, even signed off on a death warrant for a young man who was mentally retarded. So I would seek the death penalty against him. I got to think there's at least one courageous prosecutor out there, and I'm going to be looking for him.
Okay, Frankie, we got to go to break. Thank you for the call, Frankie. More calls straight ahead. David, Walt, Steve, and others. There is no doubt that Vincent Bugliosi is treading where angels fear to tread. I mean, there is no doubt that it is. This guy has really got a lot of will and nerve because we're dealing with global mafia here. George Bush is just their front man. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.